scripture reading this evening is taken from 2 John. I'll be reading verses 7, 8, and 9. 2 John 7, 8, and 9. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we've looked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son.
Very good to see each and every one. Always thankful for the opportunities I have to speak. Certainly it is an opportunity to present God's Word, and I try not to take that opportunity for granted, or to, I always try to give it the appropriate degree of respect that it can certainly have. But I'm certainly thankful for the opportunities I have here at Sandyville, and certainly we're thankful that you're here, Word, Spirit, and Truth. And that's certainly our goal and our desire to do things that the Bible says, certainly in Bible ways. In Sunday evenings, we've been looking at and just kind of taking a book a month. And we are at 2 John, if you'll turn over there. Last week, we were looking at the first part of 2 John. And I am going to try to pull a little more out of 2 John even for next week as well. But as you look at 2 John, we see that it is relatively short. It's very compact, very succinct, and if you were going to try to summarize the letter, I'd say a vast majority of it is focused on the idea of claiming the truth and certainly avoiding falsehood. And we kind of went through last time, 2 John, and we kind of went through a general introduction. I do believe that John is the author. I think we have internal and external evidence to support that. And he really explored the first few verses, really going up to verse 7. And we kind of just looked at it piece by piece. We looked at that term, the elder, which I really do believe is more in reference to age than anything else, as we kind of dig into the original language. We talked a little bit about the elect lady, and I kind of discussed how there are really two different views of the elect lady, whether this was one individual or this was actually talking about a congregation. And we kind of discussed both sides of that, looked into that. In my mind, it doesn't matter if you come to the conclusion if this is one individual lady or this is actually a congregation, because really the message is going to ring through just the same. And that message is really focused around false teachers. And we're going to see that really this evening. But in the last lesson, we kind of worked our way down through. We looked at the introduction. We looked at the focus there was on truth and how often that was focused on. We looked at verse 4, how it says, "Great, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth." And what a great thing it is when we run into brothers and sisters in Christ. That is something that definitely warms my heart when I'm traveling to other places or I find myself in other places and I run into a brother or sister in Christ. That is something that is so encouraging. Over the summer, I ran into another college professor, which was kind of nice. I don't think that there are too many brethren many times that are college professors, but I ran into one over the summer. He teaches at West Liberty Physics and Math, and it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to talk to him. It was a joy to meet somebody else that was trying to practice the truth. It doesn't matter where we meet him, in any area of our life, as we are in our work, as we're traveling, what a blessing it is to meet brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we went through, we saw that there was a plea, a plea to cling to the truth and a plea to cling to love and understanding that love and truth are united. But as we get into verse 7, I think we really get into one of the primary purposes of the letter, which was a warning. And if you were just going to read through this letter while I'm preaching this evening, I think in the context, you would really say this is a letter kind of directed around claiming the truth and avoiding false teachers. So that's really going to be our focus this evening as we look at 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7 and explore these verses here this evening. So 2 John chapter 1 verse 7. It says, "For many deceivers have gone out to the world who do not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You know, we look there in verse 7, and we start to see, I believe, some instructions and a warning to watch out for deceivers. You know, we find that to be something that we have to think about as Christians. Because in the religious world, it's almost like there's this big pane of glass that there is no false teachers out there. In fact, I've got into religious discussions with individuals, and we know that we teach different from one another, but they won't say I'm a false teacher. It's almost like you can't say that anyone's a false teacher today. It's almost like we're running around with a whole bunch of lambs. Everyone's harmless. No one's trying to do anything wrong. There's no false teachers out there. But the Bible says the exact opposite, that false teachers are everywhere, and that we should be mindful, and that we should be watching. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly there are ravenous wolves." And as we continue there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and following, it says, "You will know them by their fruit. The men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Even so, even good trees bear good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them." There's some false teachers out there. And there's some discerning that has to happen in our Christian walk. Is that we have to be mindful, we have to be aware that many deceivers have went out to the world. And that is what we have in this letter to the elect ladies. Watch out for deceivers, because many deceivers have gone out to the world. I think that phrasing really implies that there are deceivers everywhere. They have gone out into the world and they are on the move. And certainly there is a lot of false teachers that are out there and on the move. And if we were to reference every New Testament scripture in relation to false teachers, we would be here a long time. And that's why I find it so strange that in the religious world, false teachers have almost disappeared. There's a lot of things in the religious world that have almost disappeared. The discussion of baptism has almost disappeared. The discussion of false teachers has almost disappeared. There are a lot of things that are no longer discussed in religion because people have taken their Bibles, they have shut them up, and they have laid them on a shelf and let them collect dust. They might carry it around on occasion, but they're not reading it. If we're not reading God's Word, it opens us up to be deceived. And John is writing this letter and really encouraging to watch out for the deceivers that are out there. And in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, the Bible reads this. It says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. And by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple." There are many false teachers out there that will try to get a following any way that they can. And many times, these false teachers can get a big following because they'll tell people exactly what they want to hear. You know that there's some deceivers out there? You know that there's some deceivers out in the world? Could you name some? Whoa, let's not name any false teachers. When we think about false teachers, and we start going through the New Testament, when I look at the Apostle Paul, when it came to even brethren that had fallen away, the Apostle Paul communicated these things. Why did he communicate these things? Because he was concerned about brothers and sisters in Christ. And there is many false doctrines, many false ways out there, and many deceivers that are out there. And the Bible encourages us to keep watch. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." We are to be testers. We are to be testers. Not everyone who puts on a suit is going to give you the words of God. Not everyone that says that they're a preacher, pastor, or whatever it is. I mean, I think even terms are abused and misused in the religious world. People are calling them things that they should never have that title. Really, when we look through the Bible, reverend, that is really a term that we always see really connected to God, but yet people take that on so casually. We see people take on the title of pastor. I'm not a pastor. I believe pastor is equivalent with the term elder, and I don't meet the qualifications of an elder. I'm just a minister, and really a minister just needs a servant. Pastor pastor, elder, I believe those are equivalent terms. Those terms come with some qualifications. Qualifications that I do not have. Are we watching out for deceivers? Are we testing what things are said? You know, there were instructions given to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And actually, I heard a preacher one time say, you know, if you can remember 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 4, you probably have all you need for false teachers. 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 4, they're both about false teachers. We'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, therefore, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap upon themselves teachers. And they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. You see instructions given to a young preacher. Cling to the word. Preach the word. Because what's going to happen? People are going to come along, and they're not going to cling to the word anymore. They're not going to cling to the doctrine of Christ. They're not going to cling to the teachings of Christ. Well, where are they going to preach? What are they going to teach? They're going to teach what people want to hear. You don't have to go too far. You don't even have to go out of this county. And you can find some people that will just preach to you what you want to hear. People that have ripped pages out of the Bible, essentially, ripped pages of the Bible out of their heart and say, you know what? There are certain places in the Bible we are not going to go. We're not going to touch. We're not going to practice those things because we don't want to practice those things. We want to do what we want to do. So they have itching ears. And they find teachers that will preach what they want to hear. Not what the truth is, but what they want to hear. And you know what? It was happening back in this time, and it happens here today. In 2 John, John is trying to warn here. He said there's many deceivers out there. Many deceivers that lead people to wrong beliefs. And you know what happens when you get a wrong belief? Is it leads to wrong action. When you have a wrong belief, it leads to wrong action. And that's a dangerous situation to fall into. And there are many people that will believe things, and because of their beliefs, they will conduct themselves in certain ways. There are many beliefs floating around just like that. And John is trying to warn of that. Teaching wrong leads to wrong thinking, which leads to wrong action. What do you believe? What do you cling to? In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about this idea of not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds should be renewed by the words of God. But a lot of times, people aren't getting the words of God anymore. Because the Word of God has been buried. But we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That happens with God's Word, not the words of false teachers. You know, false teachers like the news. I don't think it's an accident that it says, for many deceivers have gone out to the world. This idea of them spreading, this idea of them moving. You know, false teachers that I've run into, they will move from place to place until they find some place that will take them. Oh, you don't want my false doctrine here? I'll jump over here. And I'll spend here a year. And if I don't catch anybody here, I'll go somewhere else. And they will keep bouncing until they find somebody that will accept their false doctrine. I've got to see it. I'm sure you've had some occasions in your life as well. It's no different today. There are many deceivers out there in the world. And there are many people that go out there and they are congregation hopping until they can find somebody that will adopt their ideas that don't align with the Bible. It says these individuals do not confess Jesus is coming in the flesh. It says this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now we can certainly spend a whole lot of time on antichrist here this evening, but probably the best place for us to go is just what the Bible says about antichrist. Which here is one of our few references to antichrist. It says this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Well, what is this deceiver doing? It says this is an individual does not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. How many people do you know that don't confess Jesus coming in the flesh? I know quite a few. And you know what? Each one would bear the title antichrist. Now I know that the denominational world will tie all kinds of things to antichrist, but let's go through the other references in the Bible on antichrist. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. If you look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, it really says that there are many Antichrists. There are a lot of people that are against Christ. That shouldn't be a surprise to us. There are many people that don't confess that Jesus came in the flesh. There's many people that are against Christ. It shouldn't be a surprise. As we go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. It looks like that Antichrist, when we start doing a word search in the Bible, when we see that term tied to something, it's just somebody that's against Christ. You know somebody that's against Christ? They're Antichrist. Now, I know that there's a whole lot out there, but I don't try to get in the business too long of tracking down false doctrine. I mean, I'll fight false doctrine, but I tell you, the best way to fight it is with the Word. And when you do a word search on Antichrist, you read every verse, and it's just going to give you an idea. Somebody who denies Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Somebody who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're Antichrist. And you know what? Deceivers are Antichrist. False teachers are Antichrist. They're against Christ, everything that Christ stands for. They're all about divisions many times. They're all about getting followers for themselves. And you know what? That's the exact opposite of what the Bible tries to lead us to. The Bible tries to lead us to unity, but unity standing on God's Word. That's what Paul pleads for. He said, "Now I plead with you, brethren," in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, that you perfectly join together in the same mind and the same judgment." These individuals won't even confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're Antichrist. What does the Bible have to say on such issues? Certainly, whenever we come up with any doctrine or any term, we should just really do a word search on it. And I encourage people to do that. If you read every verse on baptism, I don't think you come to the conclusion that many people in the denominational world have to say about baptism. In fact, when you read every verse on baptism, it leads you to almost the exact opposite of what individuals say about baptism. They'll say, baptism is this, baptism is this. Well, what does the Bible have to say about baptism? You start reading through the Bible, you start to see that the Bible says that baptism is connected to the remission of sins, the washing away of sins. You see that baptism is connected to a good conscience, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Baptism doth now save us, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience to God. There are many deceivers out there. And you start to think about it, how much of the New Testament was actually written to combat false teachers? When we start to look at the letters to the Corinthians, how much false teaching is Paul dealing with? Well, in chapter 1, he's dealing with a whole lot. He's dealing with all kinds of splits and divisions. They're saying, "I'm after this person, I'm after this person." And Paul says, "Well, did I die for you? Was I crucified for you?" Paul is addressing false doctrine, false ideas in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. And you start thinking about it, all of these letters almost have a certain section that's addressing false teachers. There are false teachers out there. There are deceivers out there. There are individuals that are anti-Christ, that are against Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, I think all have ideas and references to false teachers. You know there's false teachers out there? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, "But I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived thee by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Paul was concerned about false teaching, because he knows that it can lead people away from God. When you read 2 John, which you can read it two or three times, even while I'm preaching, you can see that the focus is on truth and this idea of false teachers are coming. Be ready. And we see that in verse 7. Look at verse 8. It says, "Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we work for, but that we may receive a full reward." You know, that idea of looking to yourself, I think, carries with it the idea of spiritual examination. And although there might be some people that disagree with me, I also think it has an idea of That's kind of combat once saved, always saved a little bit, but there's many scriptures we can go to combat once saved, always saved. But you read that, and it says, look to yourselves that you do not lose those things which you work for. What do they work for? What are these individuals working for? What is the elect lady? What are these individuals? What are they working for? You know that if you follow a false teacher, or you teach false doctrine, it's totally worthless. If you fall for false teaching, or you are a false teacher, that road does not end well. And yet many people fall for that road each and every day. There's so many places that we could go in Scripture. Certainly as we go throughout the Bible, there's many verses, I'm sure, that are popping into your mind as you start to consider false teaching. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, it says this, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, that which you have received, let him be accursed. There's a lot of false teaching out there. There's false teaching out there that people call an angel. And yet, what does it say in Galatians chapter 1? Even if an angel comes, we have what we need to get to heaven. We have the inspired Word of God that can keep us on that straight and narrow path. The question is will you leave God's Word and start listening to man's Word more than God's Word? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, it says, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to wallowing in the mire. False teaching is dirty. False teaching is sickening. In Psalm 119, verse 105, I believe it says, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now that's strong wording. I believe Psalm 119, verse 105, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Well, why do you hate every false way? Because false ways lead away from God. False ways lead away from salvation. And it's sad, but there's a lot of wolves out there. Almost the picture should be inverted behind you. Should be a lot of wolves and just a lonely lamb. Because there's a lot of false doctrine out there. Particularly when we're talking about the religious world. But yet the religious world has almost turned their back on it. People don't want to have religious discussions anymore. They don't want to have debates anymore. You think about it. You rewind 50 years. You rewind 70 years. You look back at the Church of Christ. You look back at denominations. There was debates happening all the time. And then what happened? Well, you know what? Debates are a little bit too rough. You know what we need to have? We need to have discussions. So we have discussions for a while. And then you know what we're about at now? We're about at zero. And I'm not saying that stuff doesn't happen. And I'm not trying to be, hard on our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think there's all work to do, but there's a reason that there aren't debates. There's reasons that there's not discussion, because Satan's happy with them. Satan doesn't want open religious discussion. Satan's okay with, you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay. Satan's okay with that, because he knows how that ends. He does not want religious discussion. He does not want evil to be confronted. But in our political correct society, do we even address false teaching anymore? 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 19. This is right before what we just read. This idea of people escaping, but then they go back. They found the truth. They found the truth, but then they go back. What do they go back to? Well, the dog goes back to its pew, and the pig goes back to wallowing in the mire. That's not a pretty picture, but many times people do that in a religious life. Well, why would somebody do that? Why would they do that? Because of false teaching. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, right before what we just read. It says, so when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, They allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who've actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. False teachers have great promises. There in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, it says the false teachers promise freedom. They promise liberty. They have great swelling words of emptiness. But really, the end of the false teaching ends in destruction. There's a lot of false teaching out there. The question is will we have the courage to confront it from time to time? You know, a lot of times I'll hear prayers for courage to do that which is right. And I think when we pray for courage, a lot of times we think back to the New Testament church. We think about the first century church back in Acts. We see the apostles, the disciples, all the persecution that they went through. The time for courage is now. The time for courage is now. To do those things that are right, to stand for that which is right. And are there going to be some consequences for Christians? Yes, there will be. Will Christians go through hard times? Yes, I believe so. The time of courage is not some distant land. It's right now. Oh, the time of courage will be tomorrow. It'll be the next day. It'll be next month. Perhaps it's right now, right in front of our noses, but we won't lift our eyes up to see it. We won't fight the wolf off from the flock. We won't try to save our young people from the wolves that are all around. Will you fight a wolf? We understand that we're not on this physical plane, but we're on this battle of ideas. The devil's very good at what he does. But when's the last time you gave yourself a spiritual checkup? Making sure that what Kyle says is in the Bible. Making sure that what is being taught is in the Bible. Have you been looking? It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Have you checked me out? I would. I would. That's why I told people everywhere that I preach. I need to be checked out just like everybody else. And by their fruits, you will know them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, it describes Satan's followers. It describes Satan's false teachers. How are they described? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. Wait, who do Satan's followers look like? They look like the apostles. Well, what does it say? It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. You know that Satan's workers look like apostles of Christ. You know that Satan's workers look like angels of light. You know that Satan's workers look like they are ministers of righteousness. That's what Satan's servants look like. Well, how are you going to tell them from the others? By their fruit, we will know them. If somebody says, you don't have to be baptized to be saved, but then you go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. I just like to go to the Bible, because the Bible is the authority on all things, and certainly that's something that should be considered. There's many false teachers that are out there. The question is who is telling you the words of God? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, it says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. We lose everything if we follow a false teacher. That idea of receiving there is really associated with a full and complete. It is associated with the idea of wages, and certainly we think of that idea as we lose everything if we follow a false teacher. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, it says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Will we cling to those things that are good? Let's look at verse 9 real quick. Verse 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. That idea of transgressing is the idea of going beyond. going beyond. If you think about a fence or you think about a circle, you transgress when you go beyond. And when you think about a law, when you go beyond. But really, the idea I want you to think about is a circle. We transgress when we go outside of the circle. We transgress and we go beyond what God has taught. The idea is going beyond, beyond the limit. You know, a lot of times false teachers, you know what they claim? I've got some good idea. I've got a new idea about religion. I want you to hear about it. And we get to hear that almost every week in the religious world, at least my generation. They say, we've got something new for you. We've had the Bible for years and years and years, but we've got something new for you. We've got a new way to worship. We've got a new way that a Christian can conduct themselves. We've got a new way. You know what? I think actually John was combating this with Gnosticism. I believe during the time he was dealing with Gnosticism, and a lot of times these false teachers would say, I've got something new. And you know what? I think John is really combating it right here because he says, whoever goes beyond and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. You might think you're a wise guy. You might think you've got something new, but there's nothing new under the sun. And certainly the Bible has all our answers. I've got nothing new for you. I've got nothing new. I've just got what the Bible has. The words of God. There's nothing new. A lot of times these false teachers say he has some new knowledge. But really, they're going beyond the boundaries of God's Word, and when you go beyond the boundaries of God's Word, that's sin. Whether we add to or we subtract, if you think about a circle, if you abide in the doctrine of Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. Well, guess what? You can go out of the circle this way, and you can go out of the circle this way. You can take away from God's Word, and you can drop out of the circle. You can also go above God's Word, and you can go out of the circle. We need to stay in the doctrine of Christ. Now, some people believe that this is talking about Christ directly. Some people think about the system of faith. Regardless, the message is the same, is that we need to be obedient, and we need to be clinging to Christ. And whether it's Christ himself or his doctrine, I don't know if you can really separate the two. Whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. What doctrine? That's teaching. Whoever does not stay in the teaching of Christ does not have God. It seems pretty obvious, but a lot of times people kind of run around and say, you know what? I don't need the doctrine of Christ. I'm going to run around and I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's okay. Well, that contradicts also 1 John when he writes, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, but does not keep the commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There's a lot of people out there that says, I know God. I have a relationship with God. But if you don't take the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. Isn't that what it says? Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. A lot of people try to run around and say, I can be a Christian, but I'm going to leave this Bible behind. I can know God, but I don't have to follow the commandments. Right? John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Certainly we're not going to be perfect, but I've got nothing new for you. And I don't think the gospel preacher should have anything new for you. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, it says, thus says the Lord, stand in the way and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your soul. But they will say, we will not walk in it. I want to walk in the old path. I want to do what the Bible says. Certainly we understand the Old Testament, New Testament. The Old Testament was our tutor to bring us to Christ, Galatians chapter 3. We are under the New Testament, but I want to follow the New Testament. I want to follow what God has written. We've got to be careful. I think in 2 John, he's really dealing with Gnosticism. These people are trying to say, oh, I've got something new. And I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial, and I don't mean it to be controversial, but if it is, I do hold to these ideas. I don't care what degree you have if you're not bringing the Bible with you. I think many of our brothers and sisters in Christ have got lost in degrees, and somehow they've let the Bible go along the way. I'm not saying degrees are the worst thing ever, but I'm certainly not going to say that they're the best thing ever. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. And you know what happens? We have our brothers and sisters in Christ, or we have these people go out and they get their degrees, and you know what? We start looking at them and we start putting them on a pedestal and we start saying they have authority. And you know what? They've got no authority without this. Oh, I hear all the time in the religious world. They appeal to authority, but they're appealing to the wrong authority. I don't care what degree you have if you don't have the Bible. And I think that's what 2 John is dealing with. Is these people say, I've got something new. I've got something advanced. I've got something you haven't heard before. And John says, if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. It's a simple idea, but many people run away from it. Let me subtract from God's Word. Let me add to God's Word. It's a problem. You know that God has given us everything that we need? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us everything that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What more do we need? And the answer is nothing. We've got what we need. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We've got what we need. Certainly, we look through this passage and we start to see some ideas of watch out for deceivers. We see the idea of looking to ourselves and doing some investigation, and we see the idea of not going beyond what the Bible has stated. When we follow the warning of John, he was concerned. And certainly we should be concerned for those that are around us, that we watch out for false teachers as we go throughout this life. Perhaps this evening you need to become a New Testament Christian. You might have heard a lot of things about what the Bible says, but certainly we'd encourage you to open it up and read it. In Acts chapter 2, we have the first individuals that are becoming Christians. And when you read that account, you need to ask yourself the question, did I become a Christian the way that they did in Acts chapter 2? Don't take my word for it. Read it for yourself. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can this evening, if you come, if you stand, as we sing.